Hallelujah. You know, just before announcements, when the Holy Spirit generates just an excitement and appreciation for the wonder of God's love for us, I was thinking, no announcements today. I don't want to waste this energy on announcements. I want to preach in this energy. Wow, you guys are wonderful. And we have a God who exhibits amazingness in every area. Well, we began a few weeks ago talking about faith. We're going to continue considering faith for a while because without faith, it's impossible to please God. God meets us where we are. But when he does, it's always with a sense that he seeks to draw us closer and further in our walk with him. And it's always all about faith. We're going to start this morning in Matthew chapter 15. If you'd like to turn there with me, Matthew 15, we'll begin in verse 21. And I want to be honest that probably the first 100 times I read this account, it bugged me. I wanted to say, Lord Jesus, what's wrong with you? But then I got to know Jesus better, and I got to know the Word better, and it was, okay, I get it. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman. Now, the Canaanites historically are enemies of Israel, haters of Israel. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David. That is a declaration of his messiahship. By a Gentile, a Canaanite woman. That's significant. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. She keeps crying out. This is an ongoing thing. It's bigger than just the little bit that we read here. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs, literally tiny bits. Even the dogs eat the tiny bits that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. Now, this woman was not a part of the covenant people of God. The Gospel of Mark tells us she was Greek born. But this woman, this mom, had a need that she knew Jesus could meet. And so she came. Her daughter was demon possessed. Not just demon possessed, terribly demon possessed. So she pressed. She pressed. She pressed the point. And Jesus tested her and stretched her in ways that seemed to us to be a bit harsh. But we need to have confidence that Jesus knows what he's doing. And he knows the hearts of every person with which he has to do. And he was taking this woman from a narrow perception of who he was and what he was going to do, even though she made a covenant profession. Lord, son of David. He was stretching her beyond who she naturally was and what she would naturally have held as beliefs. And he answered. He answered, and she went home to a healed daughter. As God's children, as those who have a place at the table, we are promised God's loving kindness and fatherly care. Unfortunately, many of God's children never move to a place of truly seeking to draw on God's goodness. We don't press. Instead, we tend to just sit and wait for the crumbs to fall. Growing up, I had a friend whose family had a little ugly dog. Dog's name was Pepper. And Pepper had a very unique behavioral trait. It seems that one time, when my friend's mother was serving out ice cream, it was frozen. You know what it's like getting frozen ice cream out of the carton. She was digging out a piece, and it gave way, and the spoon flipped, and it didn't land on the counter, but it headed for the floor. Now, Pepper just happened to be sitting right there, and at that moment was staring at the floor, and very suddenly, magically, a hunk of ice cream appeared before his eyes. There it was. From that time on, I'm not making this up, anytime there was food around, Pepper would just sit down and stare at the floor and wait for provision from above. He never begged. He never that was nice, but it was weird. We need to learn not to do that. We need to learn to draw on, even to make a demand on God's provision and His power. We need to move from a passive kind of faith to an active kind of faith. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, we read this starting in verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loves the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. A whole lot of believing going on here. The receiving of salvation requires an active believing. An active faith. Now, if you're already a believer, you've already embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, this is something you've already had some practice in. In order to be saved, in order to be born again, a person must actively believe. Now, this story begins in verse 14 with a reference to Moses lifting up the snake in the wilderness. What is that all about? Well, that's a reference to something that's recorded in Numbers chapter 21. And starting there in verse 9, in order to get the background of this statement, we see that they, the people of Israel, traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread There's no water, and we detest this miserable food. The miserable food they're referencing is the manna that God sovereignly, miraculously provided for them every night. They get up in the morning and there was breakfast. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take these snakes away from us." Something that God did not do. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who's bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Say, well, that seems pretty harsh. Why didn't he just take the snakes away? Because God was doing here for Israel what Jesus did for the Canaanite woman. He was stretching them. He was drawing them further. He was working in them to increase their faith. Because you see, if you were bitten and wanted to live, you had to look. Actively look at the bronze snake. Anyone who was bitten and was passive about it died. We need to have an active kind of faith. Now we're coming up on the 27th anniversary of our church being very, very significantly visited by God. A visitation that lasted 12 years. This visitation was not unique to us. It occurred in thousands upon thousands upon thousands of churches of all flavors and denominations all over the world. Many Christians, sadly, rejected this move of God, just as many Christians rejected the Great Awakening during its time back in the 1700s in this nation. Others who were hungry for a greater encounter with God and who had an active kind of faith would travel to a place that was receiving visitation. And one of the characteristics of this move of God is that it was highly contagious. We know all about being highly contagious these days. But if you went to a hot spot, if you went to a place that was enjoying this visitation by God and received a touch from God, you became a carrier of revival and would bring it back to your own church. Now, sadly, and I had discussions with numbers of pastors who I knew personally during those days, many pastors who really did want a touch from God, who really did want to see God move in their church, refused to travel to a revival hotspot. Their attitude was, "God knows my heart, and He knows where I can be found. If He wants to give this blessing to me, I'm open." They had a passive kind of faith. And most of them never received anything. The two most familiar parts of Scripture are probably Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. Everyone's familiar. In Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray in response to their request. "Lord, teach us to pray." He says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When you pray, pray like this. He gives a model for prayer. Our Father. That's relational. We are praying to our Father in heaven. We are His children. Children of the Most High. Part of the family of God. Hallowed be your name. That's worship. Our prayers should always be wrapped in worship. And then, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray in a recognition of God's reign and His rule. And then come four active faith requests. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. All four of these, give us, forgive us, lead us not, deliver us, are aorist, A-O-R, I'm getting geeky here, A-O-R-I-S-T, aorist tense imperatives. Aorist verbs denote punctiliar action. Here and now. Here and now. An imperative is a command. Now work with me on this. We are commanded to make demands of God. Or how about this? God demands us to make demands of Him. By making a demand, I'm not meaning defiantly, disrespectfully, irreverently. But boy, have I heard some interesting things that have absolutely appalled me. I have heard, now you can't make this stuff up. I have stood in prayer meetings and heard people pray, God, I demand. I have even heard, God, based on your promises, I command you. Now, see, if you hear that, let me tell you what you need to do. Just step back a few steps, because we don't know what's going to happen next. That's like Israel saying, you know this manna you miraculously prepare for us every day? It really stinks. On the other end of the spectrum, I have heard people pray, God, I beg you. Come on. As my wife and I raised our children, I expected them to make demands on me regarding their needs. In the context of being my children and being in my family, I would not have wanted to hear, nor did I ever hear, Dad, I'm hungry. I command that you feed me. It wouldn't have worked. Not only did I expect my children to make demands of me, I wanted them to. Demands like, Dad, I'm hungry. What have we got to eat? I wanted to provide for my kids. I didn't want them to have to beg. I never wanted to hear, Dad, I'm hungry. I beg you, can I have some food? We never did that. I never wanted them to go without. Unless their request, their demands were for something that I knew was not in their best interest. James 4:2, you do not have Because you do not ask God. All too often, we settle for the status quo. That's life. We need to have an active kind of faith and be willing, like the Canaanite woman, to press a little bit. We need to get in the habit of practicing that active kind of faith. We need to make active faith kinds of demands on God. Now, slight excursion to prove a point. Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, which means the disciples launched that boat before evening came. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, that's about 3 a.m. So the disciples now had been laboring in degrading conditions for a long time. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. They thought a bad day just got worse. But Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Here's two faith-active kinds of demands. "Lord, tell me to come to you on the water." "Lord, save me. This is not working so well." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Again, notice here, we don't know how far away from the boat Jesus was. Was he 10 feet, 40 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet? We don't know. But Peter, before he sank, got close enough that Jesus simply reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter didn't need to walk on water, but he wanted to. He wanted to. Peter reached out to Jesus and made an active faith demand. Now, I don't know what the disciples might have thought of Peter. We have no record. I'm thinking better of them than maybe I should. But if I didn't think better of them, I'd think they might have said to Peter, "Well, that didn't last long, did it? Nice going. You take a few steps and suddenly you're crying out for help. Come on, that was pretty pathetic." To which Peter probably responded, "Yeah, really, how many steps did you take?" You see, everybody else in the boat simply wanted to survive. But Peter wanted more. He wanted more. Now, why would Jesus answer what seems to be a frivolous request? Let me give you several reasons that I see here. Firstly, it served the purpose of God. It served God's purpose. Secondly, in the unfolding of his purpose, it resulted in the disciples worshiping Jesus, which in turn, thirdly, led to the confession that Jesus was the Son of God. That's huge. And it certainly then, fourthly, gave the disciples a boost in their faith. hey, if Peter could do that, I'll bet you I could have made it all the way. When you see a miracle, and we've got people sitting in this room, you've been on mission trips, you've prayed here in this church, you've prayed elsewhere, and you have seen a bona fide miracle. People in this church have prayed and seen blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the lame have walked. When you see something like that, you don't say, that was nice, and move on. You marvel, you worship, and your faith is increased. The disciples' faith, I guarantee, was stronger, was bigger, was deeper when they reached shore than it was when they left. Our faith needs to move from being passive to being active. We don't want to have a pepper the dog kind of faith. God might provide. I don't know when. I'm just going to keep my face low and watch and wait, and I'll receive what he gives me. No, we want to have an active kind of faith. We need a bigger vision and expectation than just survival, than just like those who sat in the boat and watched. Instead, like the Canaanite woman, like Peter, we need to be willing to make respectful demands on God. We need to press. We have not because we ask not. So let's begin to ask. Let's begin to ask. Let's activate our faith and begin to make active faith demands on God. If you're not already praying, give me today my daily bread, you need to start. So I don't have to do that. My pantry's full. Figure it out. God is good. Even when we're a little slow. He does good things because he's a good God, and sometimes he just wants to. Well, let's start praying regularly, and then when we open the pantry door and see the food in there, rather than saying, thank you, oh grocery store. Thank God. Thank God for your meals. Your faith begins to churn and to pump and things begin to happen. We need to activate our faith. And then employ it. Not being afraid. When somebody comes up, say, hey, how you doing today? And they lie only a little bit when they say, not so great today. When somebody says, not so great today, they're probably heading for the emergency room after church, you know, because we all lie. How are you doing today? Oh, great, thanks. When somebody says anything that would indicate they might not be feeling so good, your next step is not, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You got a mask? Instead, it's, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And then we pray and we see what's going on with God and his kingdom and his sovereignty and his love and his mercy and all those good things. God is good. And the kind of father that I am, that I was when my children were little, God is so far beyond that. So far. He's wonderful. He is cloaked in amazingness. And we need to begin to press a little bit. Amen. Let's stand and bless the Lord.
It's rising, it's rising up, oh. It's rising, the song of hope from us set free. It's rising, it's rising up, oh. It's rising, the song of hope from us set free. It's rising, it's rising. It's rising up, hallelujah, to you, God of the redeemed, hallelujah, you've opened blinded eyes to see, we will praise you, you are the everlasting light, hallelujah, to you.
Let's pray together. And we will pray biblically based prayers. Father, you are amazing. And I thank you that we're not under law, but under grace. That we are saved by grace through faith. And that we relate to you on the basis of faith and not keeping the law or doing good works. Thank you, Father. You're so good. Father, we believe. Help thou our unbelief and bring us further down the road. Father, increase our faith. Help us to grow and see that seed of faith that you gifted to us grow and blossom into something strong and stable and firm. Help us to grow in our faith so that we're able, Father, to approach you, to approach your throne of grace boldly, not timidly, but boldly to receive help in time of need. Father, in that spirit, we lift to you our sister Betty, battling cancer, undergoing radiation, struggling with the effects of that. God, we pray in the name of your Son, as he taught us to, that you would heal Betty. We ask that you would touch her even now with the touch of your life, of your healing, of your love. Touch her and make her whole, we ask. Raise her up with a testimony. Let her come walking into this place, glorifying our God. And then let our faith surge in the light of your goodness. Father, help us, I pray. Help us, I pray, not to be timid, but to be willing to pray. Even for those who we know aren't believers, maybe even strangers that you open doors up for. Help us to pray. And when you move, to hear people confess, truly the God you worship and the Lord you serve is the living God. Tell me more about him. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
song of hope from us every. It's rising, it's rising, it's rising up. Oh, it's rising, it's rising. The song of hope from us every. It's rising, it's rising. To you, God, of the redeemed. everlasting.